So I'm going to be sharing with you a very simple word on Psalm 23. I think it's a very well-known psalm among Christians. And I cannot say everything. I cannot really share on every single details around Psalm 23 with the little time that we have. But my heart is that tonight, when we shift from this place, we shift from this place as people that have really come to know the shepherd, knowing his voice and desiring to know his ways. We will come into this space where David arrived at. You know, 7 years ago, before I joined the church, I went one day to an event, and the event was happening in town. It was during the World Cup. And there was a lady that used to attend our church, and she had to lead worship at that event. So now they were looking for musicians to kind of perform with her. And I was among the musicians that were invited to perform with her at that particular event. And then from there we connected. And in fact, when she invited me to our congregation, to Shofar Ronde Bosch, while it was still opposite the road, I came for the very first time to sing because she was doing a song and she asked Pastor Reno if I could sing. For some reason, Pastor Reno didn't ask him, who am I, where do I stay, or, you know, he didn't ask anything, just said, yeah, you can come. And then I arrived, I sang with the band. And then I was just a visitor, so I disappeared. And then for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, she went to Bethel Church for some trainings. And one day, I felt on my heart, the Lord say, go and visit that church again. So I went to the service, and from that Sunday, I've been a member of this church. That was in 2010. But then, a year after we had our Convergence Conference, I think it was the first Convergence Conference, and it happened that some of the missions team went to DRC, and my dad hosted them, and my dad was amongst the international pastors that were invited to attend the conference, and he came as well. But a week before he came, my dad wore glasses, and what happened is that he went to see his doctor, his ophthalmologist. Now, there was a mistake made, because he gave him a medicine for his left eye, which then he kind of exceeded the level of the dose that he had to put on his left eye, and that affected the retina of the eyes, which led him to lose sight of the left eye. So now the physician told him that there is nothing he could do. He didn't know what to do. So my dad phoned me a week before he came. He said, "Well, would you please find out for me from private or, you know, hospitals and stuff?" And then when he came after the Convergence Conference, went to see different physicians, and then we went to Hoteskir. The Lord actually supernaturally intervened. Actually, before even the surgery, the left eye recovered sight, and even they scheduled actually an appointment for his surgery, which they don't easily do with foreigners because of the risk that come with it. But then everything went well. Why am I sharing this? Before I decided to go to that particular event, God knew about what was going to happen. Why did he know? And why did he orchestrate everything that I would meet this particular girl or this particular lady and come to the church and worship and then Convergence and then my dad and then the healing while his physician was stuck? Because God cares for us. Because God cares for his people. God is not surprised by the circumstances that you and I face. The circumstances that you faced while you were still a little child, God knew that they were going to happen. The circumstances that you are facing now, God knew that they were going to happen. If you were rejected from childhood, God isn't surprised by that. Because he's omniscient. He knows everything. So in my case, God knew that that was going to happen. And because he cares for his children, he made a way to rescue the situation, to protect the eye of his servant. You know, David makes a powerful statement about who God is toward him. He speaks of God being his shepherd. And in his statement, David makes such a bold statement that it is birthed from a place of being secured that God is in charge of the things that I see and even the things that are unseen, things that are in my control and things that are not in my control, things that are lining ahead. You know, tomorrow, we don't know what would happen in this country. We don't even know whether there will be an earthquake. We don't know anything. David arrived into a place where he was so secured in his understanding of God as a provider that he made a statement that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This is the statement of a man that have come to this to know the nature of God as the giver, as the father, as the provider. And a man that is secure that God, whether I know where I'm going, whether I have no clue about the things, how things will pan out in the next few years, but God shall provide because this is his heart. Now, when we want to think about the picture of shepherds, I know today we don't really understand who is a shepherd? What does it mean to shepherd? One of the pictures of shepherding in scriptures is the picture of kings. When the scripture speaks about David as a king, when God appointed him, the Bible says God appointed him as a shepherd over Israel. And in fact, God is introduced as a shepherd for the very first time when Jacob is prophesying over Joseph. And he speaks of God in Genesis 48, verse 15. He speaks of God being the shepherd of Jacob, the shepherd of Joseph, the one who shall shepherd the flock. So one of the pictures of kings, one of the pictures of the shepherds in the Bible is the metaphor of kings. And even when Jeremiah prophesied about Cyrus the king that was going to release the Israelites to go back and rebuild the temple, he speaks about Cyrus the shepherd that God was going to raise up to bring the people back into the promised land, to bring the people back to Jerusalem. And you know, one of the things about kingship is that whatever a king says becomes a decree. Whatever he decides becomes a decree. Remember when kings decided to kill all the male when Moses was born, when Pharaoh decided, that happened. When Jesus was born, when the king decided to kill all the men, that became a decree. Therefore, the safety and the lives of people in a kingdom are in the hands of the king. And in Ezekiel chapter 34, God is rebuking the shepherds of Israel because they did not take care of his people. And God is promising that I will be the shepherd. I will take care of them. I will protect them. And remember David going, when he was about to face Goliath, he's quoting, he says, this God who delivered me from lions and wolves while I was protecting the sheep. One of the pictures of a shepherd is that he protects. He watches over his sheep. And another thing is that he feeds his sheep. Remember Jesus, when he's speaking to Peter, he said, do you love me? He said, yes. Do you love me? Yes. He said, feed my sheep. So David, some scholars say that he might have written this while he was being a shepherd, whether it was that time or not, but it was something that he understood about shepherding because that was his life experience. Because sheep aren't supposed to carry burdens. It is the shepherds that carry burdens. That's what the scripture says, cast down your burden unto him, for he cares for you. What I want to say to you this afternoon is that God cares about your life. God loves you. Sometimes I get sometimes too busy and sing and minister and I serve and do many things, but there come a time in my life where I have to choose to come as a child and receive the love of God. You know, sometimes as a preacher, I can speak and maybe say something that wasn't necessarily right. But then I can come back in my shoes as a child and say, oh, Father, you love me. So I just want to tell you that God loves you. And he is the shepherd. Therefore, he knows your needs. He knows the desire of your heart. And David have arrived into a space where he truly understood, where he truly believed in the character of God that will always be willing to provide for his needs. And he makes this bold statement that the Lord is my shepherd. You know, you and I tomorrow may lose our money. If all the banks crashed, tomorrow we're all poor. But unless we know the shepherd, unless we've come into the space where David was at, then we would be able to say, the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not be in want. This is the heart of God. That is why the Israelites, even as they were journeying to the promised land, God fed them, even miraculously, with the manna. Many times Jesus fed the people because he was a shepherd. You know, the whole thing of God loves you sometimes becomes a lingo. But today, this afternoon, I just want to remind you, perhaps you've heard it many times, that God loves you. And he cares for you. While I didn't even pray about it, God knew that such an event was going to happen to my father. Therefore, God ordained every step. God made a way to intervene into the situation because he cared for us. As much as he cares for me, he cares for you. This afternoon, I'm not giving a message that will give you a to-do list, but I just want to remind you about who you are and about who God is toward us as his children. And he says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. That speaks of rest. Moses, God said to him that my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. In other words, I will take charge of your insufficiency, of your limits. I will take charge. I will do that which you can't do. That is why when Moses couldn't feed the people, God fed them. When Moses couldn't give them water, God brought the waters. When Moses couldn't cross the Red Sea, God made a way. The miracle that happened was the proof that it was God who said to Moses that they had to shift from Egypt to the Promised Land. And this is my encouragement to you. David says something powerful in his psalm. He says, find rest, my soul, in God. And I want to encourage you today by saying to you, if you've been trying so hard, you are striving, you're trying to make so much efforts to please God or to make things happen, I just want to encourage you by saying to you, rest in the Lord. Resting in the Lord is not being passive. Resting in the Lord is depending on him. The Bible says, those who wait on the Lord, they renew their strength. That's waiting doesn't speak about being passive. It's not a passive kind of waiting. But it's a dependency. The only thing that God expects of us is obedience. When we obey, guess what? We rest in him. Because he takes charge. Sometimes we burn out. Do you know why we suffer from depression? Because we carry burdens that we are not supposed to carry. Many times when people struggle with depression, one of the reasons that they carry burdens that they are not supposed to carry. God said, cast down your burden unto me, for I care for you. You know, if I cannot lift this stage, you know what I need to do if I need this stage? I need to ask for help. If I don't do it, it will never happen. Sometimes our life looks like this stage, and I want to lift this stage on my own. That's why I get frustrated, because I can't do it. And that's manifest as depression. Not every depression is demonic. No. Some of the depression we face are caused by the fact that we haven't been into a place of really being secured about who God is and just knowing that He cares, that He knows our pain, and that He can identify with our pain. And we can come to Him as broken as we are, as this blind man came, cried out to the Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me. Sometimes it costs us a little bit of humility where we had to cry out, whether there is a crowd or not, to cry out to Him so that He may come and do that which He alone can do. My encouragement to you that God knows your pain. He knows your journey. He knows your struggles. Because He cares for you. He's your shepherd. And when we come into a place of knowing, there is a boldness that is birthed in our hearts. In fact, Scripture says when we come before Him, we should come boldly, knowing that He is. And that is the reward of those who diligently seek His face. Where is that boldness coming from or birthed from? From a place of knowing who He is and trusting that He cares for us. You know, many times, one of the difficult things to pray, especially when you're pursuing someone, God, Your will, let Your will be done. Do you know why it is difficult? Because we're not always secured in His decision. We're not always too sure. Therefore, we don't know that He's really good. Because Scripture says, test and see that the Lord is good. You have to test. Many times, because we don't know that the Lord is good, it becomes a problem to pray in a certain way, to bring really come as people that are really trusting for the will of God to be done. Christ came to do one little thing on earth, the will of God. Am I bold enough to say, Lord, in this particular matter, show me, do You want me to go or not? I have my ambitions. There is this country in front of me. There is this job in front of me. Am I bold enough to come to Christ and not suggest Him, but ask Him, what do You say? Many times, we have already a yes. It's like that you are already in love, and then he comes to me. I want to pursue that girl. If he is already fell in love, you know what? He has already said yes in his heart. So he just needs an encouragement. He doesn't need necessarily a lost view on his point. Because if I say no, somewhere there, if he still wants the girl, he will be offended, and he will go to the person that will say yes to him. That's how we function. And that is how we come to prayer, in prayer sometimes. We've already decided. We've already fell in love before we fell in love. And then, God, what do You say? What do You say? The problem is that prayer becomes difficult because we are not secured in the goodness of the Lord. That He cares. That He is the shepherd. That the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. In every single area of my life, because He cares for it. And He will give me rest. And another thing that He's saying, that the Lord leads. You know, one of the blessings that we have in Christianity is that God speaks to us. And I want to tell you, if you don't hear God's voice, God speaks until today. 3 months ago, I was in Peru at a concert. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit says to me, leave this venue. I left the venue. 4 minutes later, people came with guns, knives, and everything. In that particular venue. Why? Because He cares for me. Because He cares. That's what the Scripture says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Lord. In another version say, in the shelter of the Lord, dwells under the shadow of the Almighty. God speaks until today. God leads us. The Israelites, if they didn't have a Moses that could hear the voice of God, they would have been stuck in Egypt until today. But it costed them to have a guy that could hear the voice of the Lord. Remember, God spoke to Abraham. He said to him, go and offer Isaac. Well, he went and offered Isaac because he heard the voice of, he obeyed, he started moving with Isaac. As they were going to the Mount Moriah, even as they go there, the Lord sent again an angel to say, tell him to stop. Now imagine if Abraham lost the connection. He would have killed Isaac because he couldn't hear anymore. Do you know how many Isaacs we have killed in our lives because we've stopped hearing? We used to hear when we were passionate about God. When we were depressed, we were longing for God. That time God spoke. Now we don't hear from him because we sorted. We don't need him. Therefore, we are killing Isaacs many times. When God gives you an assignment, God is wanting to start in a conversation. In fact, when God asks you a question, he's not looking for an information. You are being set up. God cares for us. God cares for us. God leads and he guides. You know, sometimes the Lord also leads even when you are clueless. It doesn't depend on your performances to lead. Sometimes even when you are clueless, he still does it. Then there is also another place where we can experience the leading of the Lord when we learn to allow him to speak as our guide, as our shepherd. You know, one thing that I've learned about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit, as long as you do not allow him to speak, he won't. He won't. And often he goes quiet very quickly. When you shut him, he goes up. He doesn't speak. He's very gentle. He's very gentle. God leads. You may be here and you are confused. You don't even know. You don't even know why you're living. You may be here and you don't even know, does your life make sense? You're very confused about your destiny. Maybe you don't even know, maybe in career-wise, you don't even know why you're studying, why you're at UCT. You don't even know, well, in the next 5 years, where should you be? When you hear questions like that, you just choose to run away because you're confused. The good news is our shepherd leads. He guides. All you need to do is to come to him. Like the psalmist says, Shepherd of Israel, would you save us? Speak to me. I need you, Lord. Guide me. Show me your ways. Show me your ways. Guide me. I don't know what to do. I'm confused. I don't know if I chose the right thing to study. Would you guide me? Would you speak to me? You know, God cares for us even when we are clueless. One day, I wasn't very well emotionally. I was on the train. I was going to town. I was struggling a little bit. That was like 4 or 5 years ago. And a man came to me on the train. He didn't know me at all. He came to me, he said, he quoted me the scripture. He said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. That scripture strengthened me. I was strengthened in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord cared for me and he cared for my feeling. And because I was ready for that word as well, I received it. I received it. And I will encourage you, if you're in a space where you feel depressed, where you feel stuck, you feel in chains, the good news is Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In John 10, verse 11. It says, the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life and life in abundance. What have you lost? What have you lost? What is that thing in your life that has been hijacked? What do you feel you have lost? The good news is, the shepherds, the good shepherd, Jesus, have come to give life and life in abundance. And the life of God touches on every single area of our lives. Salvation doesn't just deal with eternal life. It touches on every single area of our lives. And that's the good news today, that Jesus cares for you. Jesus cares about your future. Jesus cares about your family life. I know that there are sometimes issues in our lives when even friends become useless. Let's just be real. Sometimes there are situations where even the friends, they become useless. Even me, your student leader, I become useless. Where you need to go and strengthen yourself in the Lord. Because I can never become the Lord. That is the worst sin I can make, is trying to be the Lord to you. I can encourage you, but sometimes it might not work. There are situations and situations. But the good news is, Jesus Christ, He has come to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to proclaim the good news to the poor. What have you lost? What do you feel have been stolen in your family? Some people's identity have been robbed. Your pain have robbed your identity. Your failure have robbed your identity. Your issues have robbed your identity. Are you robbed? The good news is, He has come. Jesus has come to give life and life in abundance. Another thing that He says, He restores my soul. Leads me in path of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. I think we need to make peace with the fact that even though we are in Christ, we still have problems. Every single person here has somewhere there a little problem. Every single person here in this room, maybe not you, me, every single person in this world have somewhere there a little problem. But the problems aren't the focus. That isn't the focus. But David, in this particular state, he's speaking about stepping into ways where you feel intimidated by forces. You know, sometimes we go through a season in our life where we feel intimidated. Sometimes it could be spiritual. There are people that are struggling because, you know, they are being oppressed by the enemy. There are demonic forces, just oppressing them. There are people in captivity. Or sometimes we face challenges in our lives that we do not necessarily know whether it's spiritual, whether it's psychological. But no matter how the trouble may be, small or big, even through our pain, God is with us. When Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they were thrown in the fire, you know what God did? God didn't just remove them from the fire. You know what He did? He stepped into the fire. And He met them right there. Sometimes we are expecting God to just quicken this season where we feel shaken to move quickly. Sometimes the Lord wants you to meet there so that you can know Him better. So that you can know that He's also the all-consuming fire. That you can know that He can also calm the fire. Daniel, among lions, right there, God meets him. You know, many times we want to escape while we just have to just know that we are not journeying alone. Struggles will always be tough for every human being. But what makes it possible, what makes this journey possible to go through troubles and difficulties is the fact that we walk through these troubles with God. He cares for us. But you know, if you can't read Christ in your issues, if you can't see God through your pain, guess what? You'll be depressed. Because you are carrying burdens that Christ is supposed to carry. Because he is the master of time and circumstances. And this is my prayer, that through every season of our lives, that we will learn to see the presence of God. Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Can I be still in my failures and know that the Lord is God, that He is with me? That He is in charge. You know, the gospel, the first sermon of Jesus was a very simple one, the book of Mark. He said, repent, for the kingdom of the Lord, the kingdom of God, has come near. And that statement, if you study in the Greek, what it means that, stop. You are not in charge anymore, for Christ is ruling. God reigns. The gospel is God reigns. God is in charge. But the problem is, if we don't know that He is in charge, we're going to try to be in charge, and we're going to be burnt out. And we're going to be casting out demons that are not there. We're going to create demons that aren't there. All we need to do is to acknowledge Him. Scripture says, as we are beholding His glory, like in a mirror, we are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. I just want to encourage you to know that God is with you. God is with you. The presence of God cannot become effective in a place when people aren't aware of that presence. Even in the house of the gangster, the presence of God is there. In the house of a Satanist, the presence of God is there. In the house of a witch doctor, the presence of God is there. But the only problem is, this particular person doesn't respond appropriately to this presence. Therefore, that presence doesn't have the right effect in their lives. But God is there. Even through the valleys of the shadow of death, He cares for us. David, read his life in the book of Samuel. You'll see how many times he was threatened. And at one time he was about to be killed. He said, my destinies are in your hands. That's my encouragement to you. And the next verse says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. This is a picture of the Lord being a host. In that particular culture, when one would go into somebody's house, when a host wanted to honor his guest, what he would do is he will anoint his head. You see that in the book of Luke 7, verse 46. What happens there is that there is, in this Pharisee's house, there is this prostitute that comes with oil, and she anoints Jesus at the feet. And Jesus said, well, when I came into your house, you didn't anoint my head. You find that in the book of Luke, verse 46. That was a picture. That was a way of honoring your guest. So David is painting a picture of God being his host, hosting him. And many times when covenants were made in the Old Testament, you'll see people would sit on a table. They would either eat a meal. Remember Abraham, many times it often speaks about a place of covenant. But in this particular context, David introduced God, the shepherds, as the host, as the one who receives him and honors him as his sheep. That speaks of the celebration of his identity. Many of us today, we don't really know that God honors us as his sons. And as a son of honoring, there is an anointing. On every child of God rests the anointing. The anointing is a sign that God honors and celebrates who you are before you have performed anything. The anointing is a sign that God has hosted us into his presence. You know, God, when he sees us, he sees himself. That is the thing that excites him. Because when he sees us, he sees himself. We were made in his image. And in this picture, David described the sheep, the shepherds, that provides for him, that have gone with him through the valley of the shadow of death, through the struggles, that also host him into his house. And that speaks about God enjoying who he was, celebrating who he was, how proud he was of him. But sometimes we don't know that God celebrates that over us. Like I said, sometimes I do a lot of ministries, and sometimes I can get busy. But there is a time where I have to come as a guest that God honors and just know that God doesn't need my ministry. He celebrates who I am in his praises. You know, the anointing doesn't just have to do with the supernatural and the miraculous. The anointing speaks about being a guest in God's praises, being hosted by him. What a privilege that this everlasting God would host you and I in his praises. But many times, the problem is that we are visitors in his praises. God didn't call us to be visitors. God has called us to dwell in his presence. This is what David says after this. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you dwell in me, you will bear much fruit. And another scripture says, if you abide in me, whatever you will ask, my Father will give it to you. Do you see the connection? If we abide in him, if we dwell in him, but many times, it's almost like that's a difficult thing. We often come to God when we are in trouble, when we truly need, then we pray persistently, we pray with passion. But when there's trouble, when there's in trouble, when we're comfortable, there isn't always that sense of urgency. You know why? Because we haven't come to a place where we enjoy that praises, where we enjoy that intimacy. Saul was only a needy of the presence of God. When he was in trouble, he went to God, he inquired to the Lord. The Lord didn't answer him. And later he ended up going to a magician. But David loved the presence of God. That's why when he became king, he set up this tent where people would worship God 24/7, something that Saul never even thought about. Why? David loved the presence of God. He said, this is the one thing that I ask of the Lord, that I may dwell in his house, to look upon his beauty and inquire in his temple. So tonight, God is making an invitation of guests into his presence. And tonight, what I'm saying is, God loves you. You maybe have been coming into his presence as a visitor. But he said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Jesus went to prepare a place for us. Jesus cares for us. And my heart's desire is that we will come into that place where we will be bold, looking at all the circumstances in spite of everything that we face, that we can sit and say, the Lord, in my room I can say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not be in want. He restores me. Our translation, he revives me. Maybe you are very tired because you've had the same issue for a long time. But I feel on my heart the Lord saying, the time is now. The time is now. Because the anointing rests upon you. You just need to be aware of it. That I celebrate who you are. And also celebrating where you are going with me. Because I do have a journey with you. And I would love us to stand. So we're going to pray. The Bible says, my house shall be called an house of prayer. I want us to pray and ask one thing to the Lord. Say, Lord, shepherd me. Shepherd me. I may feel lonely. I've been doing things on my own. But I want to ask you to shepherd me. Maybe you've heard everything that I said before. There is nothing new in everything that I said. But I want to encourage you to come to God with passion and a desire to say, Lord, shepherd me. Shepherd me. If you feel stuck on your chair, I want you to feel free. You can move out of your chair, go wherever you can, and ask God. Say, Lord, shepherd me. Because when you shepherd, you protect. When you shepherd, you provide. When you shepherd, you lead. When you shepherd, you protect, you honor, you cover. While I'm feeling lonely, when I'm feeling broken, when I'm feeling fragile, but I bring myself before you in your lordship, and I bring my life and let my life be established in your shepherding. Let's lift our voices to him. Let's pray to him. If you do not pray, nobody will pray for you. Let's do it. Let's respond to God. Oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, would you shepherd us? Shepherd us. Lord, bring us into the place where the psalmist, where David arrived. Just knowing that you cared for me, that you had a plan, that you were discovering. Oh God, you shepherd me. You do it the right way. It is your hand that protects. It's your hand that covers. Cry out to you, where else can we go? If I don't cry out to you, to who else am I going to do it? My father, my mother may forsake me, but you won't. God, you care for us. You care for our families. You care for this city. You care for this nation. Lord, would you shepherd this nation? Ask us to pray and ask God to restore us. One of the things that the shepherd does, he restores. If there are things that you feel have been broken, things that have been stolen, things that have been damaged, maybe you feel damaged by life, I want you to come to the good shepherd, to Jesus. Say, Lord, restore me. Restore the joy of my salvation. Let's do it. Let's lift our voice to him. Hallelujah. Lord, restore us. Lord, restore our hearts. Restore our lives. Let your hand of grace touch every part of our life. Lord, you say the thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. But you come to give life and life in abundance. Lord, we've allowed sometimes the enemy to come and steal and kill and destroy, to speak even into our lives. But today, we cancel every lies, Lord, and we receive your life. Lord, would you revive us again? Would you revive us again? Would you revive our passion for you again? Passion for your kingdom. Passion for your people. Passion for this nation. God, would you revive us again? To your ways, God. Lord, would you revive us again? here and you feel confused. You feel you don't even know where you're going. I want you to cry out to the shepherd and say, lead me. Guide me. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Lord, would you guide us? Would you lead us? Would you lead us, God? Would you guide us? Your ways are always perfect. Your ways are always perfect. God, guide us through the voice of the Spirit. Lord, we repent of silencing sometimes the voice of the Spirit. We pray, God, that today you restore our sensitivity to your voice. Thank you for your presence in this place. that you care for every single person in this place. Lord, before we got damaged in this life, you knew that was going to happen. Lord, before we got rejected, you knew about it. And you allowed it because you knew that you had the power to rescue us and to restore us. And because you knew that you were going to be able to give us grace to overcome it. And that you were going to be able to strengthen us to go beyond our challenges. Lord, you came to Moses 400 years later. After these people have been struggling, you said, I heard the cry of my people. And I have come to deliver. Lord, you know the deepest cry of our hearts. You know the deepest cry of our hearts. Things that we cannot verbalize. Things that we do not have words for. But today, God, we come before you because we know that you can do exceedingly above what we can imagine, above what we can expect, above what we can say. Because you are God. You are the master of time and circumstances. Lord, tonight we come before you because we put our trust in you. You are not a man to lie, neither a son of man to repent. Lord, you do care for us. And tonight we come and respond to your love. We receive your love. We receive your grace. We receive your compassion. Lord, before Israel crossed the Red Sea, you knew that they were going to face the Red Sea. God, and you allowed them to go through that way because you knew that you were going to be able to make a way through the sea. Oh God, we thank you for your hand upon us and for your hands upon your people. I want to encourage you where you are to really engage with God, to really engage with the heart of God, to really have communion with Him, to really engage with the Holy Spirit, because He's here and He's ministering to every heart. Ministering to every lives. We didn't come here to chill. We came here to connect with the heart of God. We didn't come here to sleep. We came here to worship God. We came here to connect with His heart. Let's connect with Him. Engage with Him. Engage with His heart. Let's do it. Oh God, we choose to behold your goodness, Lord.